In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As you can perhaps tell by the extra cacophony, today is a different kind of day. Today we celebrate baptism, primarily baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. Traditionally, the first Sunday after Epiphany is when we have that celebration. Basically, because in Scripture, we don't know a whole lot about Jesus' life between his birth and his baptism. We have that one story in Luke about being left at the temple, accidentally, I'm sure, by Mary and Joseph, but that's going to be 2 years from now before we get back into Luke. So we go straight from the birth narratives and the visit of the Magi to his baptism, where Jesus' earthly ministry begins. In the early church, as people were trying to describe the relationship between God and Jesus, some of them came up with the idea that Jesus was born just a normal human being and that God adopted him as God's son. This is called adoptionism, and it's a heresy. So don't get beguiled by it. It's wrong teaching. But that was the thought for a while. And passages like we read today don't really help fighting that heresy. Jesus comes up out of the water at baptism, and then God proclaims him his son. Seems pretty obvious. But of course, Christians believe that God the Son was always God, that the Son is eternal, and that Jesus Christ is the incarnation of that second eternal person of the Trinity. And yet Jesus was baptized. The perennial question is, why did Jesus need baptism? Well, of course, the larger question is, why do any of us need baptism? But it's what baptism represents, what it shows, the outward invisible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. That in baptism, we are adopted as children of God. We become members of God's family. We become part of the body of Christ through our baptism. And I have grown increasingly aware of the real meaning of adoption. We had adopted Lucy, years ago now, from China. And this past week, we adopted Jacob and Evie as our children. We're trying to see how many different ways we can bring people into our family. I think next will be marriage. I don't know, Zachary. It'll be a while. But that whole idea of being adopted, that we're part of the family of God, that we're no longer orphans in the world, that we have a place, a part of the family, that through Jesus Christ, we are adopted as children of God. And so obviously Jesus didn't need adoption. Jesus was always the Son of God. So why baptism? It certainly wasn't to wash away sins. Jesus is the sinless one. My thinking is that what Jesus does in baptism is not that baptism changed Jesus, but that Jesus changed baptism. What John was doing was ceremonially washing away sins, that people who had realized they were going the wrong way in life needed to turn, to return to God, to repent, needed an outward sign of that change in the inside. And so washing seemed an obvious choice, an obvious metaphor. And people would come to John eagerly, wanting to be washed. But what Jesus shows is that in baptism, it's more than just washing away sin, although that's a part of it. Jesus transformed baptism into adoption for us in all righteousness to make a means whereby we not only wash away sins, but we change our very essence. An ontological change, if you'll excuse the fancy word, that our very being changes when we become part of the family of God. I'm not sure if Jacob and Evie really realize that they're adopted. We've been mom and dad for 2 years. They've been living with us as foster children. And I don't think they're really aware of the change in status. But we are. Erica and I, Zachary and Evie, and Zachary and Lucy and everyone else. We know that now that means that they are ours forever. There's no power on heaven or earth that can take them away from us. Then no matter what they do or how they act, what choices they make, they are our children, bonded forever And that's what happens to us in baptism. We are bonded to God forever as God's children. So we celebrate baptism. It's not celestial fire insurance. It's not a get out of hell free card. It's a showing that we are part of a family of God, that we are joint heirs with Christ of God's eternal kingdom. It's amazing that sprinkling a little water and saying a little prayer will do something like that. And of course, that's not what does it. That's just the things we human beings do to show the magnificence of what God is doing. And of course, it doesn't end at baptism. Baptism isn't the culmination. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of our life in Christ. That in our baptism, each one of us goes on to live out a life in Christ, doing as best we can to model our lives after Jesus Christ, seeking with our every breath to love God with our whole fiber of being and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Because baptism isn't just about a happiness, it's about a responsibility that we owe to God as God's children. Just as our children sometimes try to please us and do things to make us happy, certainly as we all did when we were children for our parents. So God wants us to be like God, to be like the one who created us, who redeems us, who saves us. To spread that love, that light into all of God's creation as God's faithful children. And God gives us the Holy Spirit to help us do that. Because left to our own devices, it ain't happening. But it's not just us. It's God through us. And we give thanks to God for that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.